Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, happy Monday, and welcome to Mind Shifter Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Today we have Dr. Hem Hayes and Dr. Michael Rice hosting the show, and I'm your co-host, Michelle Fiché, filling in for Jeannie. Today is October 21st, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We would love to hear from you because your comments and questions make this your show. So let's welcome Dr. Tim and Dr. Michael Rice.
Well, does that mean that Dr. Michael Rice is actually on the phone?
Well, there's
I'm here, if you can hear me.
Yes, yes, you are in a deep dark cave. You're spelunking.
Oh, really? I'm spelunking. Can you understand me though, all right?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, that's the main thing. If you can understand me, that's half the battle.
This would be the time to make any proclamations you always wanted to make as God.
Today is the day of first day of the rest of your life.
Perfect.
Well, one of the things that was on my mind for today, is the fact that, you know, for the first year of this show, just about every day we mentioned Memorial Day and dedicated the show to the healing of the wounded in war, both and wounded by war, physically, mentally, emotionally, family, relationship, financial, all the wounds that go along with the insanity, and dedicate this work and this show to the healing of all of that insanity. So that's kind of been strongly on my mind at this point, and the reason for that is that Jeannie and I turned on television here. We're in Albufeira, Portugal, southern sunny Portugal. We're running about 70 degree temperatures, so we've been out in the sunshine a little bit today. This week is pretty much playtime for us, so we're doing some catch-up on computer stuff and playing a little bit, but last night we turned the television on, and the movie that was playing was Dances with Wolves, which I have not seen since it first came out. I don't even sure, maybe 12, 15 years ago, whatever it was. Anyway, quite a while ago. And watching it with some new brain cells really opened the space for me to see. I've been doing some writing about war and the insanity of it all, and watching Dances with Wolves was just a big opening for me to understand once again on another level the whole filter system and the impact that it's had on the world. You know, there's an ancient scriptural principle that says there'll come a time when the whole world will be fooled. And it's interesting to see how fooled we have become. And, of course, fooled, by that I mean conned into believing that we're something other than what we are and doing things that are not in harmony with who we are. And so, of course, our perennial question to years to establish what human life is simply hold a newborn child, and you know what the essence of human life is. And so as I watched Dances with Wolves, if you remember, Kevin Costner plays the lead role. He goes out to a fort where there's nobody there, and he is the soldier. And he's going to protect the fort, and you listen to his language. And we've talked a lot about regulatory speech, and you listen to his language about he's defending his post and his military mindset and all. And one day, a Native American breaks into his corral to steal his horse, the first person he's seen after being there for months. And with his fear-based mindset, he roars up and, you know, in rage at him, and what are you doing stealing my horse? And the guy takes off, and the horse with him. The horse is smart enough to come back. But it just sets an interesting scene for that mindset. And over time, these two men begin to communicate. And there's an interesting dynamic between them and dynamics of others in the tribe. Some of those in the tribe who are of the hostility-based mindset, and all they want to do is kill him. And this fellow who, you know, went in to steal his horse or set his horse free or whatever it was he was going to do, inhibits that. He stops that. And he feels like there's something special about this man, about Kevin Costner. And so over a long period of time, it's kind of like, you know, the time it takes to really step in and do a piece of work. And over a period of time, they finally take steps toward each other to open communication. And finally, they begin to communicate in a way that reflects that they both are interacting with each other out of their human lives. And they come to really care for and cherish each other. The one man is a medicine man, and of course, Kevin Costner. And you see his fear-based language disappear, and he starts to speak about how gentle and warm and caring and loving these Native Americans are in his interaction with them. And he actually gets closer and closer to them, to where he realizes they're human beings and joins with the human part of them and actually goes through ceremonies with them and is accepted into their tribe. And the young man who was a warrior, hostility-based mindset, through the whole scenario, still wants to kill him, wants to get rid of him. You know, just that mindset of hostility and what it wants to do, how it functions. And over time, there's actually a woman who Kevin Costner falls in love with, and they decide to get married, and he, the warrior Native American, at first is kind of disturbed because this woman was the wife of his best friend who was killed in a battle. But as time unfolds, they each once again start to reflect on and experience each other as human beings and come to love each other, come to function out of their human lives rather than out of the hostility mindset that they first met under. There's just so many dynamics that show up in it. And then finally they're getting ready to move their camp, if you remember the movie, and he has forgotten his manual where he's, or his diary. And so he goes back to get it, and when he goes back, there's soldiers at the fort. And they immediately shoot his horse to death, you know, bullets, hail of bullets, and kill the horse. And they take him captive and beat the hell out of him. The mindset, just you know, watching how the mindset that calls itself in service to us and calls itself heroism then goes to work, is sure there's an enemy out there, and sure enough creates one. They take him and they just, you know, beat him mercilessly. Because, of course, now he's a traitor. He turned into a human being and loved people who or functioned as love in the presence of others who functioned as love. And that made him a traitor to the enemy mindset, to the hostility-based mindset that perpetuates war. The point I'm coming to here is the whole dynamic of it shows how something that we must do as a society, if we want sanity in our world, is we must remove all decision-making power from the hostile and fearful. Because it doesn't take 2 minutes from the point where these soldiers with their fear and hostility and low character mindset come in, and there's a reason for war, and they go on the war path, and taking Kevin Costner as their first hostage, their first captive. And of course, the Native Americans finding their friend in trouble go back and attack to get him back. You know, that hostility-based mindset kicks in for them, and now we've got war again. And it was just such a beautiful demonstration of a word spoken in hostility destroys the capacity for human life. And to me, reflects and echoes Yeshua's words, where he tells us what the first law is. And this law in Greek is made to sound like something like the rule of the superior. And, you know, the Greeks translated as you must love God, love neighbor as you do yourself. Totally, completely inaccurate translation. But in Aramaic, what he says is you've got to maintain a condition in your mind called love, called rachma, and that condition is the gateway for human life to enter your form. And when hostility or fear raises its hand, human life is gone. And it was just such a powerful demonstration to watch how human life disappeared and how important it is, how imperative, how urgent that on every level of our society, if we ever want to have a safe space for our children and our children's children and their children, we need to remove or convert every mind that makes decisions based in hostility or fear from the whole process, especially the process of who decides who the enemy is and who perpetuates their money and their power and all of those things by perpetuating war. And it's time for us to make a requirement in our society to have a truly civil society where the first requirement to run a political office, to be a judge, to be an officer in the military, to be a grunt soldier, the first requirement needs to be rachma, that we live as human beings. And then we're not going to go around the world killing people just because that's what the hostility and fear-based mind does, because that's what it does. And Dances with Wolves is just a beautiful example of how that works. Another really powerful example that comes to mind, I've been doing a little bit of writing after seeing that, and thinking about the movie Joyous Noel, true story, on the battlefields in France during World War I. And Christmas Eve, they decide, the Germans and the Allies decide to call a truce. And as they call a truce and they're burying their dead together, they end up exchanging pictures and chocolate and alcohol and play football and share worship together and realize they're all human beings. One of the lines in the song that comes from that movie is, on each end of the rifle were the same. And once these men started to experience themselves and each other, as opposed to the boogeymen that had been built into their minds with hostile, fearful words, started to experiencing these enemies as human beings and had the opportunity to experience themselves, rachma, active in order to experience themselves, all of a sudden they don't kill each other, they stop. And in fact, you know, true story, the Germans who stopped shooting to kill were sent to the front line so they'd all die because war must perpetuate itself. And folks, it's really, you know, ultimately, we can't convert anybody outside. And when I talk about conversion, I'm not talking about bringing somebody into a religious persuasion. Whatever your religious persuasion is, stick to it. It's awesome. Enjoy it, delight in it, and do the work that Yeshua laid out. And when I say convert, I mean convert the fear-based, hostility-based mind back into a love-based mind. as each of us is able to do that. You know, there's some interesting scenes in the Dances with Wolves where, you know, there's some pretty gross, ignorant army people who just do gross things. And I find myself wanting to go, when the Native Americans were attacking, I said, yeah, kill that. I said, wait a minute. I'm doing the same thing. I'm buying into the same thing, the vengeance game. I need to cancel my goal for this person to be someone decent and hold the space for them as well. Because the ignorant mind, the hostility and fear-based mind, does not know what it's doing. And as we heal those tendencies within ourselves, each and every one of us, then we can expect a different game to begin to happen on Earth. And, you know, ultimately, it just reinforces the whole reason why we do everything that we do to bring this work to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So that's my sharing for today. And the forgiveness process is the key to all of that. And not the forgiveness in, if I'm a soldier, do I forgive the guy on the other side that I believe is the enemy, that I've been brainwashed with horribly hostile, fearful words, is something other than human? Do I forgive them? No, don't ever forgive them for anything they've done. If they've done insanities, and chances are if they're in the military mindset, in the hostility and fear-based mindset, they've done just about as many insanities as you. So now we're even. But rather, forgiveness is the key core tool that Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago on how to remove the mindset of hostility and fear. We apply forgiveness to hostility. We apply forgiveness to fear to remove it from our own physiology rather than let somebody else off the hook because they've triggered that in us. And if that doesn't make any sense to you, then it's going to take time to build the brain cells. I invite you to hang around the work long enough to do that. And you go to our website, www.whyagain.org, www.whyagain.org, and in the upper left-hand side, there's a link that says, Start Here. You click that link, or there's actually a big red and white bullseye in the middle, you can hit that. It'll give you chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? The whole book is also available for download free. It will give you, the next link is the actual forgiveness worksheet process. Here's how you forgive. Folks, when you first look at it, it's not going to make any sense. Just like saying, I need to forgive as to the person who just fired a rifle at me in war, and I was terrified. I need to forgive my terror, not the person who fired the rifle at me. And that doesn't make any sense in the brain cells of the standard world. The whole world has been fooled. And this isn't to do anything other than offer support to those who've been brainwashed into the hostility and fear. Jeannie and I were watching another video a couple of weeks ago on the Wounded Warrior Project, and they made a point of saying that one of the things that is brainwashed into these people in their training, and I've thought about, I wonder if under the hate crimes law, the military could be prosecuted for this because they teach them to hate. That's the basic teaching in the military training, to hate. I think that's a war crime. I think that's a hate crime. I think we need to maybe look into that and use that as a way to hold people accountable for what they're doing. Well, but Michael, if they don't hate the enemy, they won't kill them. Yeah, that's right. What if they gave a war and nobody came? What if everybody had so forgiven their internal hostility and fear that all they do is stand and look at each other and say, hey, brother, how you doing? Gee, do you have some land we want? Do we have some gold you want? Hey, let's work this thing out. Let's do this like humans rather than I'm going to go in and steal what I want to steal because I want to steal it, which is basically the bottom line reason for war, aside from the hostility and fear. So the second link is to the worksheet, step by step, seven steps on how to go inside your mind and remove whatever belonged. And then the next six links, at least, are radio shows where we have walk somebody through the whole forgiveness process. So we invite you to access all that material, and if anything I've said doesn't make sense, I'd love to hear your voice. I'd love to hear your questions and see if we can help it to make sense. And if there's somewhere that it's an error, I'd love to have it pointed out so that I can get clear and clean up that part of my mind too. So we're delighted that you're here. Dr. Tim, does that give you any thoughts to share?
Yes, the first thought is ditto. We were having a conversation about the way we create, and one of the things that you add to the work that I was taught about how the mind processes things is you've added a step before externalization, the step of projection, which is helping me become aware of how my mind, my past experiences, and the energies in my mind-body system get stimulated to create an image in my mind, in my brain, that I think is the outside world. And the more I become aware of the fact that what I'm looking at, what I'm actually seeing in my mind through my eyes is not the outside world, that it's a compilation of stuff that's getting triggered and stimulated in me and past memories and energies and traumas and filters that I've created over time and that might have come from past generations, the more I become aware of that, the more liberating it is, the more options I have to question and begin to see things hopefully more accurately.
That is a huge piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, and just opening up the possibility is the first important step there. So,
yeah. It only took me about 20 years to build the brain cells where I could be taught that. But, that's what's happening. Okay, I got it. So hopefully we can shorten the time for people building the brain cells and understanding just how the mind works to see this game. And that whenever brain cells fire, they make pictures. We take the digital image that's stored in the mind, the digital, pardon me, information, and we literally convert it. Each one of us has a digital to analog converter. The digital being the content of the mind is energy, it's information. You know, if I think I see something in the outside world, nobody shoved it inside my brain so I could see it. All that came in my eye was light energy, and the light energy that came in my eye did not contain any pictures, it only contained information. My brain converted that information into pictures according to what that light energy resonated in me. And so I build pictures, convert information into reality, into pictures. And all of those pictures that I see always tell me more about the content of my mind than the world that I think I'm looking at. And that is such a big piece of learning, isn't it? Wow.
Well, and that's the phrase I was just going to use. Whatever I think I see is always going to tell me more about what's going on inside of me than it tells me about the outside world. And if I can learn to look inside first, then I can get a step closer to being accurate. Guy Finley tells a story about a guy who moves into a new house and has a huge picture window, and he's very irritated by it because it's very reflective. So he sees himself and the inside of the house when he first looks at it, unless he really works to focus and look through it. And the essence of the story is that in that kingdom, in order to see anything accurately, you must first see yourself in whatever you're looking at.
Dr. Kim.
Pardon me? Say again, Michael. So, Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And it appears Michael's still on the switchboard, so I'm not sure why we can't hear him right now. Jeannie, are you there? Actually, she drops off too, so maybe not sure.
Okay, so let me just ask you if there are any callers.
Yeah, we
have
their
hand up.
We do. Let's go with caller 810. This must be a Michigan number. Hello, this is Michelle. Where are you calling from? 810, are you there?
Hello.
Hi there.
I must have accidentally pressed the button. I apologize.
No worries. Are you calling from Michigan?
I am, yes.
Would you what, tell us what you're thinking right now? You may as well. We've got you hot.
Yes, that's a good idea. Yeah, I'm actually, like, I'm working. That's why I didn't intend to press the button, but yeah, my name's Adam. I've called in before, and not sure what to say. So
okay, sorry. No, but my apology. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Just if you have something on the top of your head, because yeah, it shows that you have a hand up. So no worries.
Oh yeah, yes. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity
okay.
to share.
Okay. Take care, Adam. Bye.
Thank you. You too.
All right, Dr. Tim.
Yes.
Okay.
Do we
let's
have anybody
go to
else?
517. Yep, 517. That's another Michigan caller, probably Lansing area. Hi, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. This is Tony. Hi, Dr.
Hey,
Tim.
Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. I'm calling in to share a little bit of where I'm at right now in my own process and see if I can get some feedback. I feel like I've been tapping into a new level of awareness of me being the source that I am, being the source of love, and I'm also finding that I'm having a lot of resistance come up along with that new level of awareness. And that resistance feels, I've been getting lots of insights lately, lots of conscious insights, but the resistance feels very unconscious and a little bit difficult to tap into right now. I'll give an example, just an example right now immediately it's happening for me. I'm working on a commissioned painting right now, and with a commissioned painting it's a little bit different than just working on a painting that I would be coming up with on my own. I'm finding my mind is wanting to figure out what the client would be wanting to see in the painting, which when I'm doing that, it's taking me away from my intuitive power that I usually tap into that helps me to create a painting that in my eyes feels more alive and feels, a stronger painting. So that's kind of, I'm aware of, I have an awareness of what it is that I would like to be doing with this painting, but it seems like the more I become aware, it's like I'm just getting more of a resistance coming up inside of me. So maybe that's enough for me to give you information on what you might be able to share with me on what I've shared.
So, Tony, can you hear me? It's Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, I'm glad you can hear me. One of my thoughts would be that when you go into that wondering what the client would want, is there some fear associated with that?
Yeah, it would be a fear of disapproval.
There's the worksheet I'd go after then. I'd start doing some worksheets on you being disapproved of for your creativity, for your originality. Now, is that a perennial issue with your power person, is not having your creative original self being approved of by your power person?
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
I'd say there's your 77 times 70 worksheets, and you're coming up with the next level of that then.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it does feel very much like a 77 times 70 type issue.
Yeah, and that, that resistance in the Aramaic, the word resistor is the word that's defined as Satan. It's the resistor, one who misleads. And, it sounds like this is a perfect example of that resistance. I know what I'm to do. I'm going to create this painting, and now Carbon-Based Memory comes up with this story about how it might not be good enough, or it won't be original enough, or it won't be approved of, whatever it is. And that's the story. That's being misled. So instead of staying connected to and tapped into the original source, Carbon-Based Memory jumps in and starts to shoot all its little doubts in. That's the resistor, one who misleads. And in Aramaic, that was called Satan. And that's a huge, huge piece of work to overcome that, to get to the point where that you just trust the higher voice and you let that lower one go. So you're right on track, and I know you're just doing layers and levels of work, but it sounds like this will be the next subtle but urgent piece to work through. That would be my take.
Okay. Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's there's some frustration that comes up because I do, like I was saying, that I have a very conscious awareness of these insights that are coming to me, but it's just that piece, and I guess that's what the whole worksheet process is all about, is just tapping into those unconscious layers, those more subtle layers.
That's it. Let me just take another wild guess. A short time ago, you called in about a major breakthrough around your son and your relationship with him, and you had a lot of upset. Was that issue by any chance around your son wanting to do an original life compared to what you wanted him to do?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that might be, you might just tie that in and stand in the stead, you know. Let yourself be in his posture as you imagine yourself coming down on him for that, and then let that resonate whatever happened with your power person coming down on you for that. And you know, and then finding the place where when healing has happened, there's cooperation and support, and your son accepts guidance because he doesn't know everything he thinks he knows, and he's willing to accept guidance, and at the same time, has room to be an original that creates an original life and is really, truly supported in that. And of course, creating original life doesn't mean I get to do everything I want to do when I want to do it. But it does mean that if my power person comes on to me with hostility or fear when I choose to be original, and the power person is a parent, then the tendency is that I'm going to have, in my file on being original, I'm going to have that same hostility or fear that my parent has. And as they pour it out on me, I'm going to tend to lock into it more and more and more. And as you do the piece of work of unlocking what he resonated in you, what your power person set in motion in your genetics and in your life that you bought into, all of those things together will help everybody to raise up to a new level.
Yeah. And something that just flashed for me was, I feel like I'm becoming more aware of my own source and my own presence as God. And what you were just saying, I could see that's where a lot of my resistance is coming from, because I'm projecting that fear onto my image of what my source is or what God is. So, and allowing myself to surrender completely to that, I have that fear of losing control. So,
And of course, the culture gives us a message that we have to maintain control, and it's been a long time on planet Earth since, in mass, people were supported and encouraged to build and live an original life, because, you know, kings had need for soldiers. He didn't want somebody who was a dancer or an artist. They wanted soldiers. Kings wanted killers who'd go steal property for them. That was the, you know, that's why we bred you. Don't you know that? And, you know, that kind of mindset. And, you know, the school system has taken each child and said, oh, have we got a job for you? The commercial system has a plan for you. There's an interesting scene in the movie Captains and Kings. It's about the Civil War. And it's supposedly, it's very accurate. It was made by Ted Turner, and Ted Turner apparently is a real Civil War buff, and everything had to be accurate. And there's a point where General Lee says, I think it was to Jackson, he says, if we lose this war, then the bankers and commerce are going to take over the country. They gave the real reason for the Civil War. It didn't have anything to do with slavery. That's a cover Black Ops story. That was the real reason. And since then, as commerce took over, you know, every school system has a person who says, I've got a battery of tests to give you, and we'll tell you what job you can do best for us. And don't bother thinking that you're original. This ties into it. It might be a good video to watch in this context. It might be the one on purpose, personal power, and commitment. And to bypass the brainwash of the culture that says, we have a job for you, whether it's a parent with a child, or a school teacher, or a school counselor, or someone who, you know, is called an employer. That, no, you don't get to live an original life. We have a job for you. We expect you to fulfill it. And if you won't, you'll be a social outcast. You won't have any money. You won't have any friends. You won't be part of the crowd. Just on and on and on go the threats. And so all of those energetic dynamics are things that need to be processed through.
Right.
And
then
continuing processing through them and arriving at life as a true human being, as that awesome presence of love and that gentle space that you hold.
I appreciate that. Appreciate the input. I've been utilizing the purpose, personal power, and commitment. Coming up with my secondary purpose, I've refined it to a place where I feel like it's the strongest that I've had it yet, and I've been reading that to myself every day, and so I'm sure a lot of everything that's coming up for me recently is all connected to what you just said.
You got it. You're doing your work, and that's what happens. Everything that needs to be healed. You know, once you get really clear on what that vision is and what your real purpose is, then to integrate it, everything in life, it has to splash up to the surface. So it sounds like you're right on track, and, you know, to stay in the willingness and let it move. It's not always pretty. It's not always Dr. Feelgood, but it sounds like you're right on track, sir.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I will pass it back to
you,
Mr. Wolin.
All right, we appreciate
you. All right, appreciate you too. Bye.
Okay, blessings. Take care. Bye-bye. You know, Dr. Tim, when you were talking about the stories and the fellow with the glass window, unfortunately my phone caught off at that point, but it's interesting the way we're brought up into a certain culture and a certain mindset, a certain way of being, and we think that the skills of that culture and that mindset and that way of being are going to serve us as human beings, and usually doesn't do anything to take us in the direction of living a human life. It takes the willingness to develop a whole new set of skills, and the favorite story that I have that comes from him is the one where he talks about going out of town and stopping by to see his friend who's starting a new business, and his friend's just putting up his sign for his handmade wooden chair business, and explains to his buddy he's going out of town for 6 months, and when he comes back, he'll come by and visit again. And so on his way back 6 months later, he drops by his buddy's shop, and lo and behold, he's taken down the handmade wooden chair sign, and he's putting up a handmade wooden furniture sign. He says, "Well, what happened to your chair business?" And the guy said, "Well, you know, I just found I wasn't very handy at making wooden chairs, so I just decided that I would quit doing that." The guy said, "Well, but you put up a sign for handmade wooden furniture. What are you doing?" And the guy says, "Well, you know," he says, "I just thought I'd try it again and see if things would be different." And it's interesting how many people talk about wanting to try something again and aren't willing to create a new mind to do it with. Try to do it with the old mind, whether it's relationships, or finances, or business, or, you know, whatever, you know, or health. Trying to do it with the old mind and thinking that they're immune to, you know, the laws and the way they operate, which none of us are. They're all right there in full operation. So guys' stories are very inspiring and awesome.
Yeah, the tail end of that story that you missed was the rule in that kingdom is that in order to see anything accurately in that kingdom, you had to first see yourself in whatever you were looking at.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
And I just thought that was a fun way to talk about the very dynamic that you teach, that I'm really not seeing anything outside of me. I'm seeing much more about what's inside of me when my brain creates an image for me.
Right.
So let's ask Michelle if we have anybody else with their hand up.
We do. We've got Sunny on the line here, so let's say hi to her.
Well, let's say hello.
Hi there.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you? What kind of question have you got for us today?
Okay, well, Friday I was on, and I want to thank everyone for your prayers with the little kitty thing. We have 2 out of 5 healthy little kittens, and it was a beautiful experience for lots of little triggers that would have otherwise been there if it weren't for the wisdom of this work in my life, and I thank everyone. I've got a question that is kind of coming up in the busy work this time of year with my artwork, and I don't always get to do the worksheets proper. But I was contemplating...
Let me ask a question. When you say, I don't get to do this, you make that sound like it's somehow the choice of the worksheet, whether you get to do it or not.
In travel and setting up to do the shows, it's a very busy, busy time, and little things will come up,
right,
and then you don't really get to settle into that. But
so my question before you pass that one, so my question is it something the worksheet does to you, or I'd invite you into responsibility communication? You choose, you get busy and use that as a way to avoid doing your worksheets. You choose not to do them. It's not that you don't have time to do them. You choose
I do apologize,
no,
Michael. I do the worksheets.
You don't make a choice, I see.
Right, and I do get to do the worksheet so that we are very clear with one another. But part of, you know, when we take that time until we can get to our worksheets, I'm constantly mentally processing, okay, this is what I'll do my worksheet on, this is when I get to sit, this is what I'll do my worksheet on. Is not canceling the goal, like it's just the whole mad science within itself, is part of canceling the goal where we really just find ourselves more at peace? I mean, getting us ourselves to that point of peace and acceptance and getting our ego out of the way and then letting what wants to happen truly happen, because our goal may not be the way that it really wants to occur. And you still are served. We get what we need. Am I making sense there?
Well, there's a great song titled, "You Can't Always Get What You Want, But You Always Get What You Need," and that's true.
Right.
And the idea of canceling the goal is to process the parts of us that are hidden, that are in resistance to what is happening in the moment. And they're the parts that hold the pain, the trauma, the turmoil. And then we get to a space of a more conscious relationship with the energy that's moving around us. And, of course, whoever's most conscious is the one who gets to take charge of and direct the energy flow.
Right, and that's what I think. I just really, really felt that shift this week, especially yesterday. And that just like we just have these expectations, if you will, that things will always be this way or that it must be done that way. And if we let go of that through the worksheet process, the new gets to open up. Is that where we're supposed to be with that?
That's the idea.
Very good. Yeah, I do. And
yeah.
I just was just impressed if, like I said, just canceling the goal in and of itself is just huge. And I just really felt that for the first
huge.
Time.
There's a short form, you know, the core of the forgiveness process is canceling the goal. And, you know, Rex, I think on the show the other day was talking about the short form of the worksheet, and if you look at the bookmark on the back of the bookmark, it's locate the unsatisfied way you want it to be, cancel the goal, reconnect the love. And as you do that, just you can you know, you're in the middle of your day and it's busy, you can just, oh, what do I want here? Oh, I want Charlie to, you know, agree with me. Okay, so I cancel my name for Charlie to agree with me and I connect with love. And that can be a quick fix. It's not a replacement for doing
right.
the full process, setting the presence of love in the mind and all of that. There's a more in-depth process that will take you further. But that short, locate the goal, cancel the goal, reconnect the love. Bang. That can move mountains in the middle of the month, for sure. Yes. You got
yes.
it, young lady. That's cool. Delighted.
All right. And I would like to be, you know, I would really like to attest for anyone listening, too, that if you, until I get to do my worksheets and get to the end of my day to that point of actually sitting down with them, if you skip a day or you miss it, I feel it in my body, all the garbage that I've held with, you know, with my work and the course of my day is very physical and all those things that go with that for me personally, but you do carry that energy if you don't let it out through those worksheets, and I can't thank you enough, Michael. And all of you, thank you.
Delighted
to
be on the team. Yeah.
Yes, we've missed you.
And of course, the other piece of the puzzle, even when doing the short form of the worksheet, is to breathe. It's definitely a
yeah.
big key. When you find yourself inhibiting the breath and holding the breath, that's what locks the energy down, locks it back, and tends to hold us out of the condition we're designed to live in. So you're right on track. I'm delighted to be on the team, and we'll look forward to the next time we see you face to face. Blessings.
Yes, dear.
Alrighty,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. Young lady, do we have anything happening in the chat room we should be aware of, and or anybody else with a hand up in the phone queue?
Nobody's waiting with their hand up right now, so feel free to call in. We've got about 13 minutes left in the show. And I'm having a great time chatting with myself. I realize it's October 21st, so one short month away from Jeannie's big weekend.
I couldn't quite understand you. You're 1 month away from
Jeannie's. It's today's October 21st. 13 enrolled people for her women's intensive, and it's one short month away.
Yes. Yes, yeah, and Jeannie, maybe you want to come in and just talk a little bit about what's happening with the Women Healing Women Workshop. I know your phone isn't connected, but you could come in here and grab mine and just say hello and sort of say a little bit about what's happening with it. Jeannie?
Hi there.
I can't see her. Oh, here she is.
Yeah, so we've got 13 people enrolled in it right now, which is awesome. And, yeah, thank you, Michael. We were echoing. But counting myself, there's 13, and we had originally said 12 to 14, so there's maybe room for one or two more, but that's awesome. Yeah, we're excited about that. It's going to be phenomenal. Lenore's coming to do the food, and so it's going to be a very powerful 4 days, Women Healing Women, November 21st to the 24th. Information's on the website about that. Yeah, so that'll be your first out for me, but I'm excited about it.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to see the results that happen. I'm sure it's going to be pretty powerful. I appreciate the work that you do with people, sweetie. It's awesome.
I wish I could
be a fly on the wall throughout the whole process.
I don't know if I'd be able to do it if you were there.
Well, I guess I'd have to adapt the guise of a female fly because a male fly wouldn't be allowed, right? Okay, well, okay, I'm back on. I think Jeannie just lost her connection.
Are you not on?
I'm not on?
Yes, you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Michelle?
We can hear you.
Oh.
Michelle, Dr. Kim?
Actually, she just fell off.
Okay, so, Michelle, have we been on?
Yes.
Did you hear
me
tell him right away that we could hear him?
I didn't hear you say that. I think they heard each other echoing.
Okay, so... So we've got, I don't know, 10 minutes left. If anybody has questions or comments, 646-200-4169. There's been a lot of stuff just in this show mentioned. So if it's resonated any brain cells for anybody, any questions or comments about what Tony was talking about or what Sonny was sharing, we'd love to have your questions or comments at 646-200-4169. Press 1 and Michelle will know you want to make a comment.
Yeah, Michael, it looks like he dropped off for some reason. But I'll let you know if he gets back on.
All right. Well, that was very nice hearing from him and such a nice, clear connection. And it's amazing to think of them in Portugal. I hope that this whole week is productive and restful for them. It strikes me to just talk a little bit more about the idea that what I see when I open my eyes, what I hear when I'm tuning into what my ears are picking up, really has more to do with what's going on inside my brain and my body than it does with what's going on outside of me and around me. And that in itself is such a difficult lesson to get into people. And one of the best ways I know to get that lesson is to either participate in a MindShifter support group, or if you don't have one in your area, start one. And all you need is one or two videos from Michael's work, some worksheets that you can print off the internet, and the willingness to meet and begin to learn it yourself. And as you learn it, share what you're learning with others. And the process begins to unfold in ways words can't really describe. So we extend that invitation, and that's a big part of what we're doing this internet show for 5 days a week, is to introduce people to these tools and then teach them and support them as they apply them in their lives. So did I hear Michael back on?
No, not yet. Doesn't look like it. To that end, on the topic we're speaking on, you know when couples argue, sometimes the male might say to the female, "You're just like your mother," and usually that will get a rise out of the person. So this weekend, I was talking to my husband, and he was saying something to me, and before I could even check the thought came to my mind, "You're just like my mother." And I cracked up because when I kind of caught up with the thought of what I actually, you know, had said in my mind or heard in my mind, it made me laugh so hard because it's so true in terms of the recycling of the old garbage, the old story, the old scripts.
So what did you do with that new awareness you had?
Well, I didn't actually speak the thought, but I did examine more closely the pattern and what the theme there was in terms of you know, drawing a partner who was I guess helping resonate those same feelings. I guess it's something to heal. I definitely 77 times 70.
Okay, well, I just wanted to pick up on the theme that we were presenting, which is that what I see when I look out through my eyes is more about what's going on inside of me than it is about what's outside of me. And then you decided to tell a story about looking at your husband and thinking the thought, "Oh, he's just like my mother." And so I thought you were saying that you had a realization that he's not at all like your mother, but you're seeing the patterns that you have yet to resolve with your mother when you look at different people, including the person that you're most intimately connected to, which would be your husband. And you might be seeing that pattern with him because you have the most invested with him, you've opened up to him at a deeper level, and you've given him access to the deeper parts of your mind that are hidden from you. And you might be seeing that with him because it's safe enough to explore and work through those things. So you might want to look at both aspects of that dynamic that you just played out and then reported to us.
No, that all applies because it triggers a feeling of hurt. It's difficult because I adore him so much.
Well, I would support you in realizing that the hurt was in there before you ever met him. And so the work is to remove the negative energies I carry around in me that I choose to hide from myself and that only get brought to my attention when I allow myself to get into a relationship that's safe enough and deep enough where I feel, all right, I have a new level of vitality, now I can get rid of some of this pain. So again and again, I have to focus on the fact that the pain I'm feeling is mine, and whoever is in my presence, physically or consciously, is simply a gift that's resonating the work I still need to do, the painful energies I need to dismantle. So
can I do my worksheet.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, can I punish him a little bit first? I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Okay, well.
That hidden rage right there.
Yeah, there's a hidden rage. And
no,
so what that indicates is that you've tapped into a very deep level of pain. And we would love to support you energetically in doing the work to dismantle it and not cover it up with humor and not feed the hallucination that this isn't important. It is important in your life when you consider all the work you're doing to be on this show and to learn these tools. It's very important, and the tools are available to help you resolve it. So I would just be, you know, very aware that the humor is a way to avoid dealing with it. But it's very important, and I thank you for sharing.
I appreciate that, Dr. Tim. I agree with what you said, and I actually texted him something along the lines, like, thank you for the worksheet material. So I agree. It's you're right on both counts that it's old and it's deep.
And the third count is that it's all yours. He's not doing it. He's not even resonating it in you. It's you that are resonating it in his presence, using certain bits of data from your conscious awareness and your perceptions. And the last point I want to make is you're doing it most likely because you've reached a new level of vitality, and he's a safe person to do it with. So we're down to about a minute. Thank you, Michelle, for your input today. Thank you for running the switchboard. To everybody else, please join us again tomorrow. Hopefully Michael and Jeannie will be back. And in the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.